Blog Talk Radio.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it. I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen. Although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
Scott Enstra Network.
Scott Enstra Network, scottenstra.org. If you're new, we have some new listeners. We have people come and go all the time. And it has been an interesting couple of years since I've been doing the shows. I think we're going on 4 years in total, over a little year, about a year and a half with Julie. And, you know, of course, she'll be on tomorrow night. We're doing Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays with Julie, and Tuesdays, Thursday on myself. And so we're trying to cover both, fields, so to speak, the Christian field and then the occult world, to minister to them, to preach to them, in hopes of making disciples of them. Now, socks in the refrigerator. I'm not pulling any punches tonight, and I'll probably offend some people, and I'll certainly make a few women mad at me. But don't worry, ladies, the men's time's coming Thursday night. That one is going to be entitled Women and Children First. But tonight, I need to address some things that have reared its ugly head again and has been a concern for many, many years, has been one of the biggest thorns in my side. And it's actually a demonstration of the condition of the church. God is a God of order. God is a God of truth. God is a God of love. And so the commandments, the laws of the prophets, the laws of Moses, those things that have been given to us are to keep us in line, to keep us in an order that we're not harmful to ourselves. And notice what I just said. There was an old joke I can remember saying, son, get away from that wheelbarrow. You know you don't know nothing about machinery. And it's interesting to find out that what most people do not know is the fact that they think they know. And so when I talk about socks in the refrigerator, have you ever misplaced anything? Have you ever lost something, car keys, cell phone, a book, something of that nature, and then you find it somewhere where you would have never have thought it was, you know, going to be? And so what was the state of mind that you were in at the time? Now, there's lots of reasons. You know, we can talk about stress. We can talk about sleep deprivation. We can talk about demon possession. We can talk about, you know, multiple personalities. In fact, most everybody does have some type of alter because of the hurts and the wounds and the pains. If you've never had a hurt or a wound or a pain, then chances are I'm speaking to the altar and you have stuffed all those emotions down. Now, when it comes to women, unfortunately, are the target of sexuality. They're the target of perversion. They're the target of molestation and rape and so forth. Now, that certainly doesn't exclude men and or children or young boys, because unfortunately they're targets too. And if the president has his way, that every child in this country, both boy or girl, will be molested and raped. If he has his way, there will be genital mutilation on young girls, just like it's being done now on boys, called circumcision, which is a complete mutilation of the organs on the penis that is for sex. And so every man that has had circumcision has trauma. Every man that has had this done to him has a hurt and a wound deep in their soul, because the trauma that takes place upon this mutilation, this basically destroying men, because that's what it is, it's a part of castration, that some actually die from this happening. And I've taught on this before. Some get infection and die later. Some bleed out. But in any case, hearts have been known to stop when this is being done to the child. They're even known to stop breathing, and the nurses will have to stimulate them to come, you know, to start breathing again. Why in God's name would we want to inflict that kind of harm onto a child, man or boy, right, boy or girl? And the point of it is that us as society think a certain way. We've been programmed, we've been trained, we've been led to believe things that aren't true. So they tell us that this is something that needs to be done, when in reality that is not the case, because if we are made in the image of God, and man was first, then woman, and I'm going to talk about this, then why are we destroying the manhood of men? So when we look at erectile dysfunction, when we look at these things later on in life, I can assure you that this is part of that. And so what's the answer? Viagra. What's the answer? Cialis. What's the answer? Other things that are other than what God gave us. All right? When a man and a woman comes together, they come together as one flesh, as husband and wife. They leave their parents and join and move forward as what God intended, to start another family, to appropriate, to replenish the earth, to multiply. Now, since man was made first and then woman from man, but ironically, man then comes from woman. So what an interesting scenario. But the curse that is upon man is carried by man, because man was put in charge of the garden and man failed. He allowed Satan to come in, and regardless of what you believe in how that took place, I believe along the same lines that Julie does, that there was sex that took place with Satan, with Eve. And as we find out that it is possible for a woman then to carry both seeds and to give birth to twins, and so then later Adam came into Eve. And so what we have is we have Cain and Abel story. Now, whether you want to go with that, whatever. The point of it is that we have corruption. We have sin. We have fallen man. We have evil that it has run so rampant that God destroyed the planet, basically the earth, with water, only saving a few whose seed was not corrupted. They were the last ones. Now, the church keeps you away from the Book of Enoch. The church keeps you away from Jashers and Jubilees and a few other books, and I believe the Lost Books of Eden are one of them. So we certainly have the Book of Giants. And again, those who say that the Book of Enoch is not part of the canons, well, it was, and it was removed 400 AD, then reappeared in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, if Isaiah is literally word for word of what we have today, then why would Enoch be? So my point is that there's an order of things that have taken place. God's word was written from day one. And so these things that we see today are a product of sin, a product of rebellion, of rejection of God's word, those things of witchcraft, those things that have placed us in separation. So we're out of relationship with God, because we're fallen man. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bridge that gap. Now, Jesus fulfilled, he accomplished, he finished it. And so what we're commanded to do in the Great Commission is continue those commandments and his works, because greater things we will do, until his return. And so he didn't tell that to women. He told it to men. He told it to the apostles. Excuse me. Now, that means men have a great responsibility. And again, I'm going to be addressing that on Thursday, but along with that, I have to give a little bit in order to make my case here. Now, since men have not done what they were called to do, then what has Satan done as he is then taken women and moved them in? Now, women were not designed. Now, there are tough women out there. There are smart women. There are good women. Okay, but I'm talking about the general order of things. And so there are women who are willing to be obedient, and I'm not talking about servants. I'm talking about understanding the order of things and waiting, you know, the turn, waiting for the time, and doing those things that you were called to do. So what Satan has done is he's come along through the sexuality and through those things that are misappropriated, such as the molestation, the rape, and those things of incest and so forth. And by wounding and damaging women, which is what it does, and since it's out of the order, and since it is a type of fornication, it is sex outside of marriage, then there is a demon transfer, there is a demon infestation. Now, in that infestation takes place also the hurts and the wounds. And in that hurts and the wounds is the devil in the details. I've always said that post-traumatic stress is the devil's playground. So what we have then, we have women who are damaged, we have women who are wounded, which is not their fault. In fact, it is an absolute crimes against humanity that this even takes place. Because a child deserves to be a child. A little girl deserves to be a little girl. A little boy deserves to be a little boy. Now remember, boys are damaged because of circumcision. Now, when we group this all together, what we have is we have men who already have a bad start not being men. Okay? Now you have women who in their fear, okay, 2 Timothy 1:7, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But in this means that a spirit comes in a fear of that, the fact of abandonment, betrayal, rejection, those things that take place. And so in that fear, they fear that men, husbands, fathers, friends, boyfriends, brothers, will not be able to protect them. Okay? Now, in this fear, again, is where the devil is. And so when I say devil, I'm talking about demons. And so then there's an order that takes place within the individual that they will say that I will never let a man hurt me. I will never let a man tell me what to do. I will never let a man let me down. Okay? Now, as men go, we will let women down. As women go, women will let men down. We will let our children down. We will let men down in general. That's the nature of who we are. We make mistakes. We do things out of order. Okay? So with that is a affirmation, a confirmation to women that men suck. Men are bad. Okay? Now, this may not come out in the way that you treat men. It may not come out in the way that you portray yourself, but deep down, that's what you're thinking. Now, you take this blend of women, which is unfortunately 60, 70, 80%, because unfortunately, that's the percentage of those who have been molested, those who've been raped, those who've been mistreated. And so now you take them and you mix in Christianity, which is already watered down, which is already tainted, which is already a doctrine of demons in my estimate, because what I have seen through the years is that those things that have been taught to the church are not the true house of the Lord. Though this is not a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is what Satan has perpetrated himself, inflicted, pushed himself as being. And so I'm going to define this a little bit here. Now, just setting the stage. Now, the point of it is that now we have a house that's out of order, okay? When we see those who are supposed to be deacons, when those who are supposed to be teachers and prophets and evangelists and elders, they're to be people that are standing, meaning that they're not drunken, they're not angry, they have one wife. Now, notice that one wife doesn't mean that they're someone that can't sustain themselves with one wife. That was a common thing back then. And so with one wife, then you're more likely to just be focused, because Paul warns us that in our marriage that then you then focus on your spouse and not as much on God. So with this saying, then what we have with a house that's out of order, then we have women who assume roles. We have women who assume responsibilities. We have women who assume that they have to take authority. They have to inject. They have to project. They have to come in with an axe and start cutting away and humiliating men, basically putting men in their place, basically disrespecting them in a sense that keeps men from being men of God. Now, men being already damaged then fall into the category of Ahabs. And in this Ahab, what we have now is we have women basically running the church. They may not be standing in the pulpit. They may not be, the ushers. They may not be the ones that are the elders. But in reality of things, unfortunately, women are running the church. Now, with that said, now we understand one of the reasons why there's not deliverance. Because when you have an individual that is in a stance or a position that they know they are damaged, and borderline personality disorder is one of them, that in order to assess yourself, in order to move forward, you have to take a look at yourself. And unfortunately, most women won't do that. Most women just won't do that. I've noticed that trying to get women to smoke is a lot harder than trying to get men to stop smoking. So what we have then is we have pride. Pride in that, again, no man will ever tell me what to do. I will never let a man let me down. Now, I don't want to get away too much from my notes here, but I'm just trying to set the stage that there's a problem. Now, men, it's every bit as men's fault. This isn't pointing the fault at women. Women are victims, but in the sense, women are sustaining themselves as victims because they're unwilling to give up those things. Now, I've mentioned before that I don't believe pastors should be running a church. I believe it should be a board of elders. And so if you try and tell that to somebody who calls themselves a pastor, no one should call themselves rabbi, no one should call themselves put themselves in this position, because that's not the word of God. They will not step down. They will not confess that they're out of order. Pride. Now, with this saying, when you have men then that they themselves won't even admit that they're wrong, will not step down, that when you have a house that's out of order, hence a church, then they'll let the flock basically run amok. So again, the house is out of order. We have women running the church. We have men who are not being men. And therefore, the devil is in the details. Now, the unfortunate thing, that means everyone within the congregation suffers. That means that the people they're trying to witness to never really fully come to the understanding of who God is. And because of this, then the church keeps going down a path of self-destruction. You say, well, how's that, Scott? Well, here we are today in a nation that's ready to be taken over. Now, we've been taken over. We've been taken to the point where we fear the government. Okay, that is tyranny. Those who in the churches that have done the 501c3 will not ever preach the true truth or word of God. They will not come against homosexuality. They've done really nothing against abortion, which is the murdering of children. And by the way, I hate to say it, and I have to bring it up, and certainly God has forgiven you if you've repented, but the fact that a woman thinks it's okay to kill their child again tells you that their house is out of order. Now, I'm sorry. I unfortunately have been involved in abortion myself, and I have repented. I have unfortunately seen how this destroys people. I deal with women and men that are dealing with abortion. I've seen how it has absolutely destroyed marriages. I've seen how it has destroyed women. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be a year from now. It may not be 10 years. But there'll be a day that you look across the breakfast table and little Johnny's not there. And then you realize what you had done. Now, with this destruction, the devil is in the details. This is exactly what the devil has tried to do and has succeeded drastically in churches. So you have as many women in churches that have committed abortion as those on the outside, period, along with fornication. In fact, committing adultery, cheating on your spouse, over 60-70% of women have confessed to have doing this, whether Christian or non-Christian. So I don't want to hear it from women. You've done every bit of much sin as any man. Now, men, have different types of sins, but basically there are sins that lead to death. And this death then means that you will not make it into the kingdom of God and that you experience the fiery death of hell. So, and into the pit of fire. Now, let me get back into the socks in the refrigerator. So my point is that no matter what your belief system is, no matter what you think, no matter how hard you are stancing and saying that I am right, otherwise you're walking around the house and you're saying, what in what did I do with these socks? These are my favorite socks. What in the world did I do with them? You look here, you look there, and then you're tired and you're thirsty and you go to the refrigerator and you open it up, and by golly, there's that pair of socks. And you would have said to yourself, no way would those socks have ever been in that refrigerator. Now, I'm leading to another thing here. When it comes to deliverance, and I know you get tired of me talking about this, but if you have not been through deliverance, then you have a broken heart. You have wounds. If you have not been through deliverance, you have generational curses upon you. If you have not been through deliverance, then you have demons that infest inside of you. Period. Now, again, with having women run churches, then any time that you have a woman who's running a church, she's out of order, and she's not going to give that up. So therefore, the husband, who's supposedly the pastor, who shouldn't be there in the first place, then says, you know what, honey, I think maybe we should have deliverance. Next thing you know, she flips out, hits him over the head with a frying pan, says, don't you ever think of that. We don't have demons. Believe me, I've seen this. Now, men can be just as every bit of ignorance about the situation. So the point of it is that the hurts and the wounds and the pains and the sufferings and those things that are negative within an individual, that some people like their demons. Some people will fight to keep their demons. Some people will do whatever they can to let other people never know. They will always do whatever it takes to make sure that to be exposed for the brokenness that they have within inside of them. And so this is one of the reasons we do not have deliverance. This is one of the reasons that there can be those who believe that men should never minister to women. Now, notice I said minister, okay? I don't minister to anybody. When somebody comes in, I tell them what the hell is going on, that they need to stop sinning and get the demons out of them. Now, if a woman comes into my ministry, I do an interview. I find out what's going on. I get them to repent, I break the curses off of them, and I cast the demons out. Now, if there just happens to be an altar that appears, I will always heal the altar. I will have the altar go to Jesus Christ. Then break that rite, healing their heart, healing the mind, and then casting the demon out behind it. That is called casting out demons, binding up the brokenhearted, and setting the captives free. We are commanded to do that. So any of this philosophy and psychology that comes from the ignorance of the people who call themselves Christians, that this should never take place, that men shouldn't minister to women in this sense, then let me tell you, lady, you are going to continue your walk with demons in your noggin. You are going to be a raving bitch that nobody can handle, and no one likes you, and they will flee from you like your rear end's on fire. And I say this because I tell you what, the time is short, and every Jezebel within the sound of my voice, whether now or in the archives, I'm going to tell you right now that your time is coming. You're going to be thrown off the tower. There's going to be a wagon. There's going to be a chariot that's going to run you over. The dogs are going to come running, they're going to eat you up, and the only thing left is going to be your hands. And let me tell you, you will go to the lake of fire, and you will spend eternity in hell. Because for every woman, for every child, for every man that does not get ministered to because you stuck your big nose in there, you will be held accountable. The blood of their death will be upon your hands. And I'm being this way because I'm telling you what, the time is short. There are people who will never be delivered because of the ignorance and the pride and the Jezebel and the witchcraft and the divination and the sorcery that is within these individuals that God finds detestable. God sees as an abomination, and judgment will fall. And I'm telling you what, that any child, any woman, any adult male that does not get deliverance because someone runs interference, the death of that individual, because they commit suicide, they do not repent, they end up committing more sin, they do sins that lead to death, that we caused our brother to stumble. Now, let me get back to things here, and I don't mean to be so harsh, but you understand there are people who are going to perish. There are children who are tormented. They have nightmares. They have a target on their back that they're going to be molested. They have a target on their back that they're going to be raped. They have a target on their back that they're going to be beaten to death. And people like Obama, the reptilian, the demon devil himself, who is sanctioning the ability for perverted men who are demon-possessed to walk into bathrooms, we know is a setup. This is to intentionally inflict harm onto children. That means the church, who is not crying out, who is not yelling out, calling foul, to petition, to bring everything before the public that this needs to stop, shows you whose side the mainstream Christian church is really on. And the beliefs and the doctrines and those things that have been taught for such a very long time have infested the minds of every Christian who calls themselves a servant of God. Anyone who has not been through deliverance has demons. Anyone who has not been through deliverance is under a curse. And so anyone that comes to me that tries to change my thinking, tries to change my will, or tell me what to do, who has not been through deliverance, is not going to get my ear. Because I've been doing this a very long time. And as God says, you shall know them by their fruit. I have many people who have been healed by cancer. I have many people whose lives have been restored. I have women who have come back into society because now they don't fear man. They don't fear being raped. They don't fear being beat up. They love their husbands. And if I had gone by the will of those Jezebels, those witches and witches' covens are in the church, and allowed them to prevail, there would be hundreds or thousands who are still in bondage. There would be those who are still in agony and pain. So let me tell you something, lady. That you got a problem, you come to me. You got a problem, you come to my door. But if you're going to talk behind my back, if you're going to gossip, slander, evil speak, those things who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you don't like it, you take it up with God. If you want psychology, then get a psychology book. If you want to continue in the behavior of a corporate church, then act like you're the CEO. But the house of God is where judgment starts. And the time is so short that not only are hundreds or thousands of people going to perish, it's going to be millions. The blood is going to run in the streets. Now, let me point something out here. I might go too long. I don't know. I haven't even got into my notes yet. Weather wars. I was telling Julie this week that during the Civil War, when they had cannon fire, when they fought each other, and we're talking about hills and hills of cannons just pounding on each other, you know, basically bowling balls flying at the speed of light towards people, blowing them apart. But the percussion that took place caused the atmosphere to change. And so after massive battles where thousands of men were killed, and blood was everywhere, guess what happened? There would be a rainstorm. Because of the percussion, those things of the decibels that took place from the cannons going off actually caused rain to happen. So now you have thousands of men who are cut in two, blood everywhere, and now it rains. You ever hear the story that the creeks and the rivers flowed with blood? That's where it comes from. Because after these battles, the creeks and the rivers flowed with blood. Ladies and gentlemen, it will be as high as a horse's bridle. Now, this has to do with those things towards the end of Revelation. I get that. But there, when we see true true battles and fights and even massacres and even shootings that take place, it's amazing how much blood comes out of a person. And I'm telling you right now, with FEMA, Department of Homeland Security, with reptilians running the government, with the seed of Satan, with those things of witchcraft and the infiltration into the Christian church of Freemasonry, witches' covens, self-proclaiming Jezebels who think they are above man, this is a very bad scenario. This is a very bad situation. And for me to keep my mouth shut and not get mad, upset that people are going to perish because of the behavior of those who like their demons, then I will have an accountability. I will be judged. I will go before the Most High God. And just like in the book of Revelation, when Jesus says to the angel of the church in Revelation 2:20, "This I have against you." Big stuff. My point is that God is a God of order. And if he tells us to cast out demons, if he tells us to heal the sick, make disciples of all men, then by God we should be doing it. And anyone that tries to tell me any different, anyone that tries to bring a philosophy, a doctrine, a corporate, any kind of social kind of thinking, then they need to go to the Word of God. Because if I fold up, if I close my doors, if I say that I can't minister to somebody, then I have rejected their cry for help. How is that godly? How is that going to benefit? How is that going to edify? If you shall know them by their fruit, then why do I have such a good track record? Why do I have people who contact me years later and thank me, both men, women, and even young children who finally have grown over the years? You know, they can be a teenager, and now they're a young adult. You know, I had a woman come to me one time, here locally, and she was really upset because her daughter, the cancer was back. Okay? And I said, "I'll be right over." So I go over, and the devil, man, I'll tell you, he's a piece of work, isn't he? The house completely filled up with people visiting that she hadn't seen in years. The kids show up, this and that. It was just amazing. And so the disruption to keep me from praying with her, her daughter lived in Seattle. Here we are in Coeur d'Alene. And she gets this news that the leukemia is back. So I go over, and I can't minister to her. I can't pray to her. So finally, I just say to her, "You know what? Follow me to my car." So she just leaves everybody, walks out. We get in my car. She gets in the passenger side. I get in the driver's side. I don't remember if I held her hand or not, but all I prayed was about 5 or 6 words. And the Holy Spirit confirmed to me, "It's done." And I turned to her and I said, "It's done. It's over with." And she goes, "Why? You only said it." I said, "It's done." That was like a Friday, I think it was. And she was scheduled to go through some tests. You know, they wanted to figure out what they needed to do and everything else. And so I don't know if it was like Monday, Tuesday. All of a sudden I get this call from her that the test showing everything was negative. She was completely cured. Whatever was there is now gone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I had gone by the wishes of those who believe that I shouldn't be ministering to women, that woman would have been dead 9 years ago, that young girl. She would have left behind children. Now, I'll tell you something, that anyone who tries to circumvent the Word of God, anyone who tries to block the power of the Holy Spirit has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Anyone that comes against an older man, we are not to rebuke them. And in that order of things, that if you're out of order, then judgment will fall. Believe me, I know a lot of people have been taken to the woodshed. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him that thinks he stands take heed that he fall. So you go to the refrigerator to get something to drink, you open it up, and lo and behold, there's the socks that you would have sworn were never there. Now, we need to understand that this is also talking about temptation and pride, and also judging out of order. Now, let me tell you a story here. Years ago, there was this black man that came to our Bible study, and boy, was he on fire for the Lord. I had never seen anyone so on fire for Jesus Christ. And he proceeded to tell me the story that I think it was Chicago, I don't know, it may be New York or somewhere else. And it was in a bad neighborhood. And he himself, had been in drugs and everything else. And so this drug dealer, whatever went wrong, or he did something wrong, and somebody came to him with a gun and was going to shoot him. And this was taking place in an alley. So the gunman pulls the gun, point blank, points it, and fires the gun. In the twinkling of the eye, the man reappears after he disappears in that alley, and another alley blocks away. The hand of God plucked him out of the way of that bullet and put him somewhere else. He came to the understanding that there was a divine intervention to save his life, and at that point in time, his life needed to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. I remember sitting there just looking at him and seeing the Holy Spirit all over this guy. So what happens? Well, here come the women. They basically beat him up. They basically stole his faith. They basically took away everything that he had because he needed to be quiet. He needed to be reserved. He needed to be someone that basically, when they held their teacup, had their little finger in the air. Instead of being somebody that was just willing to go into the devil's den and scream the victory of Jesus Christ. That man left and never came back again. I can remember one time in a Bible study in a church that the man running it got a word from the Lord that today the Holy Spirit was going to show up. And I'll tell you what, that was one of the most wonderful divine experiences in my life, to be in that particular Bible study in the church at the time, because it was a most wonderful thing. The touch of God was there. And I'm not talking about slaying the spirit. I'm not talking about any of that garbage. I'm talking about the fact that for the first time, people had joy in the morning. For the first time, the anxieties of people and fear and those things were gone. And that they were truly in the presence of the Lord, as if he was holding them in his arms. Well, the women were incensed. They couldn't stand that. For the first time, the Bible wasn't cracked open. Do you know that pastor never did that again? The Holy Spirit never showed up again. The love of God was never felt again in that group. You see, whenever you have something that's out of order, then what we have done as humans, and we have circumvented the Word of God. We have kept God out. We have kicked him out. See, we as humans have free will and choice. And whenever that takes place, then what we have done is we have chosen. Now, the pastor himself, what did he do? He allowed the Jezebel. That's why I'm saying the women are in charge of the church. He was intimidated to the point that he never did it again. And I can assure, oh, by the way, he lost his job about a year later. So, there you go. All right. Now, when it comes to Jezebels, and I'm just going to cover this quickly, we see this in Kings and Revelation, that in order to have a Jezebel, you have to have an Ahab. Now, Ahabs can be both women and men, and Jezebels can be both men and women, but as I mentioned, because of the hurts and the wounds, Jezebels generally are women. Okay? Now, when you have an Ahab, you need to remember Ahabs, and unfortunately, I was too. At one time, I was beaten down to a point that I was an Ahab, that we are then rebellious because we're out of order. We are then allowing evil to prevail. We are not standing up for the word of God. We're not standing in faith, and we're not taking back what the enemy has stolen. So we are rebellious. We not may not think it. We not may not see it that way. But that's out of order. And so by allowing a Jezebel, an individual who is then having God's saints eat meat sacrificed to idols, which means to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And so what we have then, we have people who are in agreement to a Jezebel. And in Jezebel, you have witchcraft. And in witchcraft, you have divination. And when you have divination, you have sorcery. And when you have sorcery, you have pharmakia. So everything that falls under Jezebel is an abomination before the Lord. And this is why she was thrown off the tower. By the way, eunuchs. Eunuchs who were men who did not have testicles. Men who did not have testosterone flowing through their bodies. You think that was by accident? All right. Now again, witchcraft is mind control. Witchcraft is summoning and using demons to do the dirty work. And so when you have those things in the church that fall under witchcraft, and you have witches in churches, believe me, they're there. You have witches that are in Bible studies. You have Jezebels that are in these things. You have witchcraft. That means you have big, very powerful demons in charge. You have big, very powerful demons who are in control, who are calling the shots. And since there is no love in them, since they are evil, it is for your demise, it is for your destruction, for the demise and destruction of everyone involved. So both Jezebel and Ahabs pay the price. Death and destruction for both. Now, with this comes disrespect. Disrespecting men, elder men, men of God, those who are just men, can be disrespected. They can be belittled. Now, I mentioned before that whenever you've got someone who operates in the spirit, and a lot of, unfortunately, women police officers do, I've seen them just flip out, just absolutely scream at people when that's not the call of things, that in that, as this spirit is projected out onto the other individuals, that men can literally, they can be 6.5 foot tall and they cower to a 5 foot woman. Because the spirit behind it, the shrill of the voice and the screaming and the whole presence of the situation can cause men to cower. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I've seen it. And unfortunately, I've been a part of it too. Now, when this takes place, then you have doctrines that come in. These false beliefs, false teachings, false prophecies. And we even see that in Revelation that Jezebel calls herself a prophetess. Now, with these doctrines is a foundation of belief that's built on a lie. So now, since God is God of truth, then obviously Satan has taken complete control. Now, this is forcing your will onto them if you're practicing such things, which again is witchcraft, which by the way, we see in the Old Testament was punishable by death, okay, by stoning. Now, that comes along with intimidation. See, whenever you have those things that can be, you know, like in school, there can be, you know, the you see somebody doing something and you don't want to be seen as square, you don't want to be seen as stupid or something along that lines, and so you go along with the program. Even though in your spirit and your heart you know it's wrong, but you're still intimidated to the point that you go along with it. Okay? That's also part of witchcraft. Now, the order of things, again, is to follow Scripture, is to verify the Spirit, to test the Spirit, to be good Bereans, to make sure that things are in the order of God. But since that is not being done, then that is rebellious. That is out of order. that means that you're being disobedient. And so in that disobedience, then comes judgment. And in that judgment, then when you are found weighing in the balance and wanting, then demons come in. When you've got demons that come in because of a, quote, curse from God, you can be cursed by God. Pretty bad stuff. You get cursed by God, you know you've gone the wrong place. Now, since deliverance is not being done, then churches are in bondage to everything that I just told you about. Demons, fallen angels, and curses run absolutely crazily wild within churches. Now, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot drink the cup of demons and the cup of Christ. So if you're in a, quote, mainstream church, then God is not in there. Because people will say, well, God can work. God can do anything. God is the creator. God is the author. He is able to do anything that he wants. But his laws were written, and us as people, as followers, as those made in the image, are to keep his commandments. We are to expose evil. We are to cast out demons. We are to do those things that he has commanded us to do. And if you're in a church that's not doing it, then you are rebellious. You are then blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You are rejecting the Word of God. And the demons run amok. And they do. Right? Now, Luke 11:14, Matthew 8:16, Mark 1:34, Luke 4:41, Mark 1:39, Luke 13:32, Luke 4:35, Matthew 8:32, Mark 5:8, Luke 8:29. Basically, there's 25 verses that tell us to cast out demons. One third of Jesus' ministry to a minimal was casting out demons. One third. But yet, we're not doing it. And who runs the show? Jesse does. Good old Jesse. Now, what does Jesse do? What do demons do? Keep you in bondage. Bondage to a lie. This, then, is our demise. Then if we like the life, we love the life, we have itchy ears, then therefore we will be turned over to it. This is a promise by God. We've been promised to be cursed. We've been promised to have demons. We've been promised to be under bondage because of our disobedience. So basically we have man versus God. We have doctrine versus scripture. This is what we deal with. Now, let me get back to those things. I mentioned the other day about the wolf pack that I dealt with down in Arizona. There are wolf packs here in North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, Spokane Valley, Post Falls. This whole area is completely manifested with witchcraft, completely taken over by the Freemasons, by Jesuits. You name it, this place is tainted. So when someone like myself tries to bring the truth, you can imagine how the thugs come out of the alleys with baseball bats and basically pound on me. And what's really sad is the very people that I'm trying to help are the one telling the thugs with the baseball bats where to hit me. Hit them in the knees. Hit them in the shoulders. Hit them over the head. Pretty bad. Now, in a witch's coven, what you have is you have people who have dedicated their life to Satan. You have people who have dedicated themselves to the dark side. The rejection of Jesus Christ. Those who reject Christ are accursed. And in this, you have the practice of the demonization of witchcraft and sorcery. Those things that inflict, those things that curse, those things that cause death, those things that impair and keep people in bondage. That is their practice. That is what they do. And the church likes their demons. The church allows this to prevail. In fact, the church actually protects them. The poor little girl, the poor lady. Who cares that she falls to the ground like she's being electrocuted? Even though she's full of kundalini spirits, even though she's full of demons that absolutely want to kill you, let's love her. Let's allow her to continue to infect everyone else. Let's allow her to continue of broadcasting the spirits onto others, which will eventually mean sickness and death. And by the way, fear is always in there. So that means when the New World Order makes their move, all the men who should have some cojones, who should be able to stand up, are going to cower in fear. Men's hearts will fail them for fear for those things coming upon the earth. So those churches, those people who allow these things to continue, the wolf packs, they have dug their own grave. They have put the gun to their head, they have pulled the trigger, and fallen into the very grave that they dug. Now, with the blood of Jesus brings life. With the word of God brings truth. With truth, then those things that keep us in bondage are released. So why would we want to continue the lie? Why would we want to continue the bondage? That lie, that bondage, that curse, that will go to our children. Because remember, the children and the grandchildren are next in line to the third and fourth and other things, even into the 10th generation, which is at a minimal. So if we don't take care of business now, and let's say that society does continue an X amount of years. I don't know. Who really knows, right? I believe that things should have happened a long time ago. So obviously God was intervening somewhere along the line. But the point of it is that when a parent fails to rear the children correctly and to teach them the word, then the sins of the parents continue on to the children. And if you have a generational curse of fear, then your children will have fear. And I can guarantee you, you have put them to death. Because the exact opposite of fear is faith. And for those who have fear, they will perish. That's God's promise. Now, I'm just frustrated with the very fact of the ignorance of those who call themselves Christians. Those who are allowing the serpent to wrap themselves. Now, how does a constrictor kill? Okay? Now, if the thing is big enough, it can overpower. And or if it's not too big, it comes in sly, comes in softly, comes in quiet, and then slowly wraps around. And then by the time you realize that this thing's on you, then what it does is it starts restricting. And for every breath that you take, it and then you exhale out, then you've lost ground because then it restricts. You take a shorter breath, you exhale out, you lose ground, it gains ground, it restricts. And goes and goes and goes until your diaphragm cannot draw air into your lungs. And the church has a constrictor, a python, a puthon. This is exactly what's taking place. But unfortunately, the people within the church like their demons. They like the lie. They have itchy ears. They want to continue those things that keep them in bondage. They want to continue those things that are a lie. For when you have fear, you don't want to hear the truth. Because in the truth, you are in error. You are broken. You may have horrible, ugly things inside of you. You know, things you did, things you don't want to admit. And so you do anything you can to keep those from coming out. And what happens is you stay in bondage. You continue to allow the demons to have a legal right. And in that legal right, the demons continue to do what they do. And that is to steal, kill, and destroy. So how ironic that the very people who need me, how ironic that those who can be set free are the very ones who are actually rejecting the word of God. because the Word of God tells me to cast out demons. The Word of God tells me to bind up the brokenhearted. The Word of God tells me to set the captives free. And when the captive rebukes me, then I can assure you that the devil is in the details. Because the lie that's within the church says the church doesn't need delivered, that it's already done, that they themselves have put the gun to their own head. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got people being taken to the FEMA camps right now as we're speaking. We have people who are being tortured in torture chambers. We have people, children, we have women, we have those who are being held in captivity down underground that are being used as incubators, that are being used as breeders, that are being used as food. And men with their sperm being taken from, with women with their eggs being taken, they're creating a hybrid race. How bizarre it will be to have the door kicked down, and as you look over, you see something that looks like your own son or your own daughter, but it's a hybrid. Because that abduction that took place when you were younger was real. And they took those things from you. And now there's a whole army of children or hybrids or those of super soldiers that look just like you, that look just like your wife or whatever the circumstances is. There are many people who have been abducted that have actually met their hybrid children. Unfortunately, this one hasn't come to see daddy. This one hasn't come to put their arms around mom. They've come to slit your throat. So wake up. If you're going to be a Christian, then act like it. It's time to grow up. It's time to understand that Satan is the one who runs this world. The occult is in control. The occult is in the churches. Because you see, if the churches were truly doing the Word of God, we wouldn't be where we are. Obama wouldn't be in the White House. Hillary wouldn't even be running for president. We wouldn't be killing 60 million babies in this country. But because we have, because we stayed silent, judgment starts in the house of God. Now, us as individuals who truly are bondservants, who are doing the work of the Lord, have repented. We have understood our stance and our position of who we are, and we take it seriously, and we charge forward with the sword of the Spirit to take back what the enemy has stolen. I was mentioning today by somebody that I was praying over that, you know, many of leopards came to Jesus, but, you know, they just didn't come back and give their thanks. They didn't go on to continue. Only one did. So if you're going to be delivered, you need to continue and pass that blessing on to somebody else. That's what God would expect you to do. I know that when I went through deliverance, that this was what I was supposed to do. And anybody that tries to take that right from me, then you better take it up with the Lord. Because I've been told what to do. You've been told what to do. And anyone that contradicts that is in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, that is no place to be. So I want you to understand that God does love us all. He doesn't want any to perish. But there are some who have chosen. There are some those who are marked out from day one. There are those who will not repent. Because you see, in your denying of the works of the Lord, that in itself is an abomination. That needs to be repented of. If you don't know who you are, that needs to be repented of. God has done everything He can for us, including sending His Son. And so we are expected to do. Too much is given, much is expected. And I just want everyone to understand that if that's you, a woman in the church that has done these things, repent. See, that's the thing about the blood of Jesus Christ. We can repent. I've repented of the stuff I did. Look, I was a stinker. But you know what? That's not around my neck anymore. I've been forgiven. And any man or woman that tries to throw anything back on me, then you know what? Satan is the great accuser. So therefore, that's the camp they're coming from. That's the spirit they're operating in. And I rebuke them. Because I am a child of the Most High God. And as I mentioned, I've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. And I, like the gentleman I was telling today, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So that means we go forth boldly in love, but when we need to, we slay the dragon, otherwise the reptilians. Those who are demon-possessed that are not going to give up, that are there because they have taken an oath to continue the Luciferian doctrine to kill all Christians. Now, I'm going to do something here, and I saved it for last, and I want and I apologize for, let me bring this open. Let's see if I can bring it in. Where are you at? I don't know why it's doing that. Let me open that up, hit this. Okay, there we go. I've got microphones in front of me. I got lights in front of me, so I can't see. But I'm going to post something here. Now, if I offend anyone with this, I apologize. But I want you to understand the power of the devil. Okay? Now, what I'm going to post here, I'm going to post you a picture of a man that came in to a church service. I don't know whether it was in Africa. I'd have to go back and read it. But this individual was operating in witchcraft, in voodoo, hoodoo, those things to alter and change. Okay? I just posted it. Now, what you're going to see is an adult male with women breasts that came into a service to disrupt it, but the power of the Holy Ghost came and stopped it. Now, I want you to understand that the alteration, the manifestation, those things that take place can take place on the human body, that those things that you think are human are not. Those that you think are women are men. Those who you think are men are women. And those that we see, do you see what, when you see this picture? This is Baphomet. This is the spirit of Baphomet, both men and women in a demonic body, in a demonic spirit, to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is what's coming here, because the witchcraft, those things of Sharia law, those things that come from the Muslim Brotherhood are all part of this. And this country is going to be infested with this. This country is going to see a devastation and a destruction that it has never seen before. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, that your sons and daughters, that your grandchildren, are going to fall victim to this. And anyone that tries to tell me that I can't do what I'm doing, that tries to tell me that I don't have a right to do what I do, you need to take it up with God. Because that book, that scripture, the Word of God tells me to do it, tells me I have the right, tells me how to do it. And anyone that tells me anything different, that just like the Pharisees accused Jesus, that was blaspheming the Holy Spirit, trying to say that he was using Beelzebub's power to cast out demons. You say, well, that's not the same thing. Really? Whenever you stifle, whenever you quench, whenever you stop the flow of God, whenever you circumvent, you have altered and changed the Holy Spirit. You have grieved the Holy Spirit. And whenever you accuse someone of not operating in the Word of God and in the power of God, you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And you have disrespected an elder man of God. We are told not to rebuke elder men. Proverbs 13:31 and 20:39, my gray hair tells me I can do it. I have a crown of glory. And in 1 Timothy 5:1, we are told not to rebuke an older man. I am doing what I am called to do, and I will continue to do what I'm called to do. And I can assure you that those who have come against me in the past, that bad things have happened. When you do not repent for your sins, you give demons a continual legal right to have you. And what you have done, you have cursed your own children. And I'm sorry for you, because you have the Word of God before you. You can do those things. You can repent. God's calling you out. Now, tomorrow night, Julie will be on this with a tinfoil hat club, and then I'll be back on Thursday. Men, I want you to understand that we have a responsibility to protect our women. So I'm going to be dropping the sword on you guys, too, because what's going on in the church is because we have failed. But the women are doing what they're doing because they're in fear. And the devil has used every bit of that to do what he does. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy. I get that. But what's the alternative? To allow the demons, to allow the fallen angels, to allow the hybrids, to allow the reptilians to take us? I'd rather go down swinging. That way, if I die, then I go before the Most High God, covered and bathed in the white of the blood of Jesus Christ, because I have done those things I was called to do. And hopefully those people that I have ministered to and witnessed to over the years, that they'll be right there with me, that they've carried the sword too. Anyways, all right. Well, God bless everyone. And you know, when you see people suffer, nothing's worse than seeing a child suffer. You ever heard the cries of a child who's really in pain? And God bless you if you work in a hospital, if you work in a children's hospital, you know, if you work with cancer victims and you work with battered, you know, people, battered wives and women that have been battered and everything else and the pain and everything else. Look, this is why I do what I do. I've been hurt. I've been there. I know what it's like to suffer in agony. And if anyone thinks I don't have a right to do what I do, then you've got demons in your noggin. And I rebuke you. I publicly rebuke you. Because for me not to do what I do, that means people are going to suffer. And that means you're condoning the suffering of the innocent, including children. All right. God bless everyone. And good night.